This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I think we're going to swing the bat this year, and you know, I think we've had our moments offensively, but we still haven't put together a series full of at-bats, which we have the ability to do. I thought we swung the bat really well early in the game yesterday. Hit a lot of balls hard, took some good at-bats. We ran out of an inning one time. But we got to play better defensively for us to compete. You want to be able to save guys in the bullpen. Hopefully we can start getting some deeper starts and play some better defense behind them to allow that to happen and help guys get out of innings. And you know, we're going to have to do that going forward.
So that was Brandon Hyde after the game yesterday. Orioles lose 4-1. They lose 2-3 in Kansas City. Another weekend of feast or famine offense where they scored 8 on Saturday and combined to score 3 in the other two games. And through 10 games, fundamentally, this has been an incredibly unsound baseball team, and we seem to see it all weekend long in Kansas City.
Look, I have been talking about what I think are major categorical flaws in their roster construction since before last season. And there are things that they seem to care about and things they don't. And there are things that they seem to prize in acquiring players or developing players and things that they don't. And it seems to me, and has for quite some time, that the things that don't show up in algorithms, that Sig can't account for with all his NASA math brilliance, guys who throw to the right base, guys who know when they have to slide at home plate, guys who know how to take the extra base, guys who know who has to be the cutoff man and who doesn't, guys who throw to the right base, guys who throw to the right cutoff man, guys who understand their own strengths and weaknesses as an outfielder or an infielder and therefore working with the team adjust to position themselves accordingly. High baseball IQ. They have none of that.
Guys who can catch the ball.
But this is not a fluke.
Yeah, no.
Okay? Because you can draw a line from Dwight Smith Jr. to Tyler O'Neill. You can. You can draw a line from Pedro Severino to Gary Sanchez. You absolutely can.
Well, you could.
You can draw a line from all the soft tossing, we know better, cheap pitchers they took a flyer on at the beginning of this thing, to Jordan Lyles, to Kyle Gibson, back to Kyle Gibson. You can draw a line in what they believe in. You can draw a line from Cole Irvin to Trevor Rogers. Okay? They don't know how to construct the human and the non-analytic part of this whatsoever. They don't know when guys really need a day off and when guys really need to play. They don't know when a hot bat needs to stay in the offense and when it doesn't. They don't know that Jorge Mateo, having barely played center field in his life, having barely played baseball at all, including spring training, and with... Have they watched Cade Povich pitch on the road? What happens? He gives up a lot of hard contact and a lot of fly balls, especially on the road. And that's one of the hugest ballparks in baseball. And they run another suboptimal defensive lineup with a bunch of experimentation and Frankenstein stuff behind a young starter who needs them to pick him up. And you get a triple that should have been caught, and you get a double
that should have been
caught. Had an expected batting average of 130. A major league player catches that ball, period.
I told you last week, keep running Tyler O'Neill out there, you idiots. Keep doing it and watch what happens.
You can't call me idiots.
They're idiots for running Tyler O'Neill out there every day. Yeah. I called it a week ago. I said he will undermine your team. Keep doing it because you overpaid him. Keep doing it because you want to prove how smart he is. Keep doing it because you know what? You'll never adjust till they finally fire you. And I want you all fired. Wow. I want you all. You should be fired. You should have been fired after the last trade deadline. I said it before, I'll say it again. When this billionaire wakes up and does fire you, the damage you did will have been too much for the next person to overcome. But you keep running slop out there. It's been slop for months. You never fooled me in real time, and everybody's on to it now. And if you think Brandon Hyde is the problem, you haven't been paying attention.
I'm with you on that. Are you as angry, though? I guess I'm more angry about what I saw from Jorge Mateo yesterday. Like, first of all, I'm angry that he was out there in the
Don't
first place.
Don't be angry at him.
Well, I am, because he can't catch a baseball.
He shouldn't be there.
Well, I agree. He shouldn't ever be in the outfield. He's not an outfielder.
Did they rep him up in the outfield at all in February or March?
Hyder said they did. He's been out there working.
In a game.
He's not an outfielder. He's
don't put it on him.
They
gave Laureano $5 million, and then they didn't want him in center field.
He should be in
Mullen should be in center field.
Well, yes.
I mean, that's where it gets. He's your hottest hitter, and you mentioned it. You know who's starting. You have the young left-handed starter. Wouldn't you want your optimal defense out there, which includes Cedric Mullins?
Wait, you didn't see enough from O'Neill Friday night undermining your game because he can't slide, he can't move, he's too jacked up. If you had scouts with eyes, people like Dean Albany, you ran out of here because they wanted Bobby Witt Jr. and not Adley. If you had people like that and you actually listened to them, they would save you from some of the idiotic mistakes you keep making. I'm just a guy with a laptop. I said, if they put O'Neill out there, every day in Kansas City, whether it's rainy or sunny, he is not a baseball player. He's a designated hitter.
You're hyper-focused on O'Neill, though. Friday night, Kerstad lost a ball in the mid.
I told you from the first time I saw him in Delmarva, he's not an outfielder.
And yesterday, Mateo drops a ball that would have given a young pitcher two outs and nobody on in the first, and then overruns a ball later.
Blame the individual. None of them should have been there.
I agree. You got to have outfielders.
And this is idiotic. Yes, if you keep doing idiotic things and acting like idiots, and I can call it out before it happens and tell you it's going to happen, and you triple down on it because you pay the wrong people because you don't know what you're doing, then yeah, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to light your ass up on Monday. Because I said it was going to happen. I dared you to do it. Mm. You did it. And so Dean Kramer hung out to dry. Cade Povich hung out to dry. And hey, what? You know what? Sagano, good on you. Because he shoved on Saturday. Yeah. I didn't think he had it in him after the first outing. Yeah. And that was great. He salvaged your weekend. But guess what? You're 24th in walk rate. You've built a juvenile lineup again. It's the same feast or famine offense it's always been. The Elias way is the opposite of the Oriole way. It's fundamentally flawed. They don't want to pay or put any premium on pitching. They don't want to put any premium on defense. And they do live or die with the three-run homer, but that's not the only way the Orioles scored runs back.
That was the Weaver way,
That was one way they scored runs. That's the only way these guys score runs. They platoon too much. They didn't put any of these kids at set positions in the minor leagues, so they're still all over the place. The shortstop had 25 errors last year. I think he's a third baseman. He might have 25 more errors this year. Like, this is what they've built. It's not getting better. I don't think it's going to get much better.
Before we step out, we put up a poll. Twitter poll today, sponsored by Tee Time Golf Pass. Check out teetimegolfpass.com for exclusive Tee Time deals. IA1057, the fans, how you can vote on this poll. More bad ball from the Orioles, picking up where they left off second half of last season. Same problems from bad at-bats, the throwing to wrong base. So, Birdland, what's your biggest issue thus far? Pretty split for the most part, but bad lineup / management, 35.4%. Bad fielding fundamentals, 22.8. Poor starting pitching, 21.3. Feast or famine offense, 20.5%.
And I know I'm going to get you riled up, but you know what bothered me the most about O'Neill Friday night? He got bad jumps on two fly balls. He should have caught at least one of them. And then he throws to the wrong base.
He's a DH. I told you it last Tuesday. Yeah. How can no one in their scouting department have known there's a reason Boston's not bringing him back? He's hurt all the time. He's too jacked up with the 200-pound dumbbells to move. He's got no lateral quickness. He's a low IQ base runner.
To be fair, Rob Bradford did say they wanted to bring him back, but they weren't going to pay him what the Orioles paid him.
Right. You think they either have Wilmer Abreu or this guy? Stop.
I like Wilmer Abreu.
Like, they, like We had to sit through this, and I defended it while they ran a bunch of 4A guys out there who didn't know how to play professional baseball at this level because better times were coming. I can't have flashbacks to Dwight Smith and DJ Stewart in right field in 2025 when you tell me you're trying to win a World Series. I'm not going to stand for it. I'm going to kill you on Twitter, and I'm going to kill you here, and I'm going to try to run you out of here until they get a real GM in who knows what he's doing at the major league level. You don't sit through all that to get back to this.
Orioles,
what did they do this offseason?
They
brought in right-handed bats
yes.
to try to improve things against left-handed
yes,
pitching.
Yes, they did.
They sat kids who were killing it left yes. or right side, including who had great at-bats against lefties going the opposite way.
Both Holliday and
Heston. Yeah. So they could run their righties in there. How'd that work out?
Not well.
Is Chris Bubich, Garrett Crochet, or maybe the Orioles don't know what they're doing?
Chris Bubich. Two good starts this year for the Royals.
Did they get a runner to second base against this lefty? I don't know that they did. But that's all they did this offseason. They brought in a bad backup catcher who can hit, but he's a bad backup catcher.
Yeah.
They brought in a DH who they're trying to play every day in right field.
Yeah, he likes to play the outfield.
And they brought in Laureano, who they didn't even trust to put in center field, even though they gave him $5 million. And he's been an adventure in the outfield. But, of course, his defense has been in decline for years.
Great arm, though.
They apparently didn't realize it.
Great arm.
I guess Sig's calculator didn't. He didn't punch in the right numbers in his calculator.
Made a great throw
yesterday.
It
didn't spit out. Guy can't play.
Yeah.
Let's give him $5 million anyway. We know better.
We have a huge show today. Remember, every day is a huge show. It's a happy Monday, though it's cold and rainy. But welcome back, Maryland Spring. Harry Geller gets things started off guest-wise. Harry Geller is the founder of Turtle NIL. He's on the Board of Trustees at Maryland. He's a part-time professor at Maryland. He seems to have his finger on the pulse of what's going on, especially with the Maryland men's basketball program. We're going to talk about what happened with Kevin Willard and the Buzz Williams hire and everything going on with Maryland basketball at 2:30. Jacob Calvin Meyer covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. He joins us at 3, and our friend, IA Hall of Famer, Jonas Schaefer, talking Ravens at 5.
Is Buzz Peters, is he a descendant of Hank Peters? Because Hank Peters, Buzz now that's a GM.
Well, I keep saying Buzz Peterson. Maybe
Buzz
it was
Peters?
Another coach. Yeah.
Is he related to Hank Peters?
Yeah, Hank Peters was a good GM.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hank
Those
Peters.
Were the days. Oriole way. That was the Oriole way, not the Elias way.
Yes.
Two different things.
By the way,
the Ripken way and the Elias way. Two different things.
I was watching MLB Network this morning in front of the show. Bill Ripken was on, and they got into a big conversation about Big Dumper in Seattle, and he wanted no parts of that conversation. It was fun, though.
He's smarter than me.
Yes, he is a smart guy. Hey, coming up next, we'll hit the hot corner, and we'll take a look at the starting pitching from the weekend in Kansas City. Kay Povich, Dean Kramer down. Sagano way up. We'll recap next here on The Fan.
Just thought he looked way more comfortable today. I thought he was probably a little nervous that first start in Toronto, but just really good command like he had in spring training of all of his pitches. Really good split. Fastball command was there. All pitches. Being able to throw anything in any count, keep guys off balance. Thought he was absolutely outstanding today.
That was Brandon Hyde talking about his starter, Tomoyuki Sugano, who was dealing on Saturday, went 5 1/3, 5 hits, just 1 earned run. He gave up a solo homer, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. He looked like, and as Hyder said, he looked like the guy we saw for all but one start in spring training.
I thought he was awesome. You could tell that he was much more at ease and comfortable, even though, I got to say, going in against a team that puts the ball in play as much as the Royals do, and with as bad as this defense has been, and on that fast track and that big ballpark, and he's a pitch-to-contact guy, I think I was more nervous than he was on Saturday. So he put the nerves to bed, only 5 swing and miss in the first outing, 10 in this one. I loved what he did with his four-seamer. He had a 64% called strike and whiff rate on the four-seamer. They swung at 67% of the four-seamers he threw outside the zone. That's not a huge chase team. And he got them to chase his four-seamer outside the zone, which set a lot of things up. The sweeper was a great pitch for him. They swung at 44% of his sweeper offerings outside the zone. He was comfortable with all 6 of his pitches on not a great night. He threw all 6 of his pitches at least 10 times, and again, it's not like he threw 110 pitches or anything like that. He showed everything off, and what I also loved is the first inning. He threw all 6 of his pitches in the first inning, so he gave himself a chance to get a touch and a feel for that whole arsenal early in the game, even though, obviously, that's the strength of that lineup, right? It's not the deepest lineup in the world, but the top of it with Witt and Pasquantino can do a lot of damage.
The splitter for the first four innings was nasty. Then they laid off it in the fifth, and it, you know, they started letting it bounce in the dirt, and they picked up a better read on it late in the outing, and I think that's part of the reason. Excuse me, he couldn't go a little deeper into the sixth, but that looked like someone who knows exactly who they are and what their strengths and weaknesses are, and how to attack people. I thought it was an incredibly cerebral performance from him. Well executed. Obviously, the command was better. Although he did walk a guy and did hit a guy, which for him, I'm sure he's probably, being the tactician that he is,
beating himself up.
He's probably like, I never did that in Japan, and now I got two straight starts where I'm giving guys free passes.
That's what we would hope for, that type of outing, where throwing strikes. That was the biggest thing, and you saw that from the get-go. And I think him talking after the game, even referencing making his MLB debut in Toronto, just how nervous he was, and I think getting that under his belt was big moving forward. But you said it, Jason, the fact that he used all six of those pitches, throwing each of them at 10-plus times in it, and throwing strikes, and he was able to pitch into the sixth.
I was strangely not nervous because I was watching on my phone at Cordell Woodland's wedding reception. Shout out Cordell. Happy nuptials. We met one of his relatives, Wayne Thomas, huge fan of the show.
Shout out Wayne.
Was nice. So excited.
He brought up X Factor.
Yes,
too.
He did.
So they do exist. Yes. There's one.
He's like, he listens every day.
We got more than one.
Yeah. More than one person brought up X Factor?
No,
the guy at the casino.
So there's three confirmed.
Yeah, well, three confirmed to you. Yes, you don't buy the ones that I get them all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, it only matters if you could get them
well,
confirmed.
Well, because you two are fools when it comes to X Factors.
Well, we've seen the light.
Inventing X Factor situations.
No, we just see the light. But Sagano was great. But let's go to the other side of this coin. And it started on Friday night, where the Orioles end up losing 8-2, a game that was close heading into the bottom of the eighth inning where they scored five, and we can get to the Cionel Perez of it all a little bit later. But Dean Kramer probably deserved a better fate.
Definitely. The left fielder doesn't catch the most routine of routine plays. I don't know if he was coming over. I don't know.
It still looks like he lost the ball.
Look, for me, the game turns when O'Neill doesn't slide and keep. Not only do you give a runaway, you give an out away.
Mm-hmm.
And you take a guy who didn't have his best stuff off the hook. I can't have that, man. That doesn't fly in high school ball. Like, that gets you benched in high A. He's the second highest paid guy on the team. If you're going to run him out there every day and he doesn't know what base to throw to and he can't catch the ball and he doesn't know when to slide, then he better be batting 500.
Well, after an 0-4 yesterday, he's batting 330.
Yeah.
He had three hits on Saturday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Friday was such a frustrating game.
Just horrible
all
baseball
the way around. And it really seemed like the weather and the atmosphere really got to the Orioles, where it was a cold, windy.
Did it get to the Royals?
No, it did not. I'm not defending them.
They played balls out. We're going to run all over you. Hey, Adley, you can't throw us out. Hey, we're going to embarrass you on the base pass. Didn't seem to bother them.
I'm not defending them at all. I'm saying the weather got to them, and Dean, you could definitely see the frustration him on the mound when his defense kept letting him down repeatedly.
Yeah, so Kerstad loses the ball. Gunner commits an error. So we have that situation. By the way, two hits and a walk for O'Neill on Saturday, not three hits. But then yesterday, and we alluded to a lot of it in the open, but
Kate Povich pitched bad. The 13 hits, at least three of those balls should have been caught.
Yeah.
He got swing and miss when he needed it. Again, the double that drops on O'Neill, which was crippling, that ball's got to be caught. Again, that ball is caught. That ball's caught.
Mateo's got to catch that ball.
Major league players catch that ball.
He turned it into a triple.
To turn a line drive out into a triple to start the game when we know that kid has struggled on the road. That can't happen. But, like, this is the other thing that can't be quantified. You're not going to find it in an algorithm. There's no stat for it. These guys are front runners, man. Like, I love this team when they would get down and then they would out-gut and out-hustle the other team. They get down and they get more lethargic. They're not the most spirited team. They've been out-hustled in two straight series. If you want to call Toronto a wash, we can. But it's not like we're going to bunt and get on base and fight our way back into this game. Like, they don't play with much of a pulse. For me, am I alone?
No.
When they get down, it gets very frustrating. Very frustrating.
And they weren't always like that.
Well, no. 2023, they led MLB in come-from-behind wins. They thrived.
But I worry about
situations.
Their culture. Because, again, there's no veteran to set them straight. They ended poorly last year. Now they're starting poorly this year. Like, who's going to call the players-only meeting, O'Neill? He's the biggest culprit. He's making the most money. He's the worst baseball player. He's a hitter. He's not a baseball player. He's a hitter. He's a professional hitter. Should DH four times a week on a team that's as good as they allegedly say they want to be. So who's doing it?
O'Hearn,
he doesn't play anymore. Like, who's the guy? You got a bunch of kids who you never let settle in at a particular position, who really don't know what they're doing, like, yet. You had a guy in Freddie Gonzalez who was like a second manager. You kicked him out for Chirinos, who's never done the job before. Like, who? Who's in charge? Who's going to turn it around? They've been playing lethargic baseball since June last year when things started turning against them, and I don't see them pulling out of it just from a hustle and energy standpoint.
Since that 17-5 win on June 20th last year.
Anybody ever been more pissed off about watching their team destroy the Yankees in the Bronx 12. Than me? Because I knew what was coming. I knew it was their World Series.
The O's are 46-52 since that point. Almost 100 games. And they're under 500.
Orioles back in action tonight to take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's a 9:40 start of Baltimore Baseball Night with the Bone. And maybe Ryan Ripken, maybe Ben Hall at 6 o'clock here
probably
on the
Ben
Fan.
Hall.
We will
put
see.
Put my money on Ben. But I'm taking Ben in that head-to-head 8 days a week.
Coming up next.
Ben's a grinder.
He grinds.
Me and Beltway Ben. Cut from the same cloth. I'm
going to
say it.
Oh.
I'm going to say it.
He grinds like the Houston Cougars do defensively. That's what I say about Beltway Ben. But we'll get to the bottom of what's going on at Maryland. How did this thing with Kevin Willard end? What does he think of Buzz Williams? We will talk to Harry Geller, the founder of Turtle NIL, on the board of trustees, part-time professor. He's got his finger on the pulse of Maryland basketball, Maryland athletics. He joins us next. Maryland has a new head basketball coach. His name is Buzz Williams. He's already working the portal. It's been a dramatic couple of weeks for Maryland basketball. Let's go out to the Window Nation fan guest hotline now. Joining us is the founder of Turtle NIL. He's on the one of the founders of the One Maryland Collective. He's on the board of trustees at Maryland. He's a part-time professor. He's a friend of Jimmy Patsos. It's Harry Geller. And Harry, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Let's start with going backwards before we go forwards, if we can. At what point did you think that Kevin Willard was leaving, or was there a point in time that you thought he was staying?
So, first of all, a good friend of Jimmy Patsos, not just a...
He's an IA Hall of Famer, Harry,
yes, he is.
So we had to get that in there. He's very important to the show.
Love Jimmy. He's a true Terp. So, it started. Kevin was never really happy at Maryland, in my opinion. You would, need to talk to him about whether he thinks that's true or not. He really always felt that he didn't get the support he needed from the athletic department. Even, from the beginning, from year one, he would always comment to me, Boy, this athletic department really doesn't care much about basketball. And that, he had a great year this year, but as it sort of leaked out about the contract renegotiation, and then maybe he was talking to Villanova, then it kind of snowballed and all made sense to me. But I think really from the beginning, I don't think he was completely happy here. And then, slightly in his defense, sometimes you take jobs that you're just not happy with, and that could be the case there.
Harry, Kevin aired out a lot of dirty laundry in that press conference prior to the first game of the NCAA tournament, basically questioning the commitment of the university to the basketball program. He mentioned NIL. Where is Maryland NIL-wise compared to the rest of the Big Ten?
So, again, there's up to this year and then there's after this year. So, up to this year was with Kevin. We had a pretty competitive NIL, all donor-based fundraising. And I think his biggest complaint was a lot of other schools were assisting the NIL collectives and Maryland wasn't. They kind of left us, myself and the other guys that run and women that run the Turtle NIL and the Athletic Foundation, to ourselves to run it. So I think that was his big complaint. But as far as dollars spent this year, we were probably in the lower part of the top half of the Big Ten. There was, you know, schools certainly ahead of us. Indiana, you know, spent a lot more money than we did, and look where that got them. And, you know, some schools spent less. But I would say we were probably 5, 6, 7 in the Big Ten out of 18 schools.
So, Harry, with your spidey senses kind of tingling on this guy for a while, when we get to the point in the season where we're playing some of the biggest games in this program, this program's played in a decade or so, and he's talking about expense reports and, you know, what could have been Christmas Eve in New York City or whatever, is that the point where you start thinking he's already gone? Do you and other people who live in and breathe life into this program start already talking about, you know, where do we go from here, and what do we have to do next? Because it's clear that this guy wants to throw dirt on us on the way out.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. I think, believe me, this I could teach a master class on how not to leave a job or a program. And you know, I like Kevin. He's my friend. But he did not do it the right way. I don't condone his behavior on the way out. But, you know, a lot of things he said were true. Now, do you need to air those in public? Probably not. But I think at this point, his sense of frustration was at a level that, you know, sometimes things are broke and cannot be fixed. I sort of thought he might be on his way out just because of some of the discussions we had. But really, even up to 3 days before he announced, him and I was traveling, but we were talking on the phone. You know, we sort of whiteboard all the prospects, how much, you know, in the budget we have for a center, for a guard, for this, for that. And we were going over, you know, individual players and numbers and dollars. So I'm not, you know, maybe he was just doing that to be nefarious, but I don't believe that.
We're talking with Harry Gellert's Inside Access here on The Fan. Let's move forward now. Buzz Williams, the coach. What did you think of the hire? And you talked about some of the things being broken. I assume, and I just got a basis on messaging when Maryland put out that message when Coach Willard left about the things that they offered him, that Buzz Williams has some mechanisms in place that maybe the previous regime was complaining about.
Yeah, I think, you know, they did. I think maybe from Kevin's perspective, it was too little too late. But, you know, again, you know, no ill wind doesn't blow some good. And I think, you know, Buzz is coming into a better situation. I think he was a very good hire. He's won everywhere he's been. I really applauded the administration for moving quickly on it, because there's this year is an unusual year for NIL, because the NCAA is phasing out all collectives July 1st, including ours. But until then, you have an opportunity to raise money and sort of prepay for next year. So the player amounts are hyperinflated right now, and it should level off to more of a de facto salary cap next year. But I thought, and I, you know, went to the administration and said, you know, look, if you want us to pre-spend the money next year, we only have a few weeks to do it. So you really got to get moving on this hire. And to their credit, they were proactive about it.
Harry, they still need to hire a new AD. Are you expecting that person to be an internal candidate outside the university? And what are you hoping to see out of the next AD?
Yeah, I think, you know, they're forming a search committee. I know some of the people that are on it. They're really smart business people that know how to interview and know how to hire. I feel pretty good about that. I think the best candidate will win out. I'm not sure if it'll be internally or externally. Personally, I'd like to see someone come in and, you know, have a more reformer type attitude, look at the department. What do we really need? What do we have to do to get, you know, people in seats in football? How do we improve the football program? How do we give basketball what it needs to be competitive? You know, the Hall of Fame coach Gary Williams really got no support and wound up winning a NCAA championship, went to a Final Four, and, you know, scores of NCAA appearances. So, you know, he won without all the support. But I think nowadays you really need the administration behind you to push for that.
Well, and we've got our sort of little bully pulpit here, but like someone like Scott Van Pelt, who's closer to this than we are, who's more involved in this than we are, and who has a bigger bully pulpit than us, he's kind of gone out there and said, however we get this together, buzz with whoever the AD is moving forward, that people need to be pulling in the same directions, and there needs to be a way to sort of maybe get men's basketball and men and football and women's basketball and this new AD sort of all together. Do you echo those sentiments as well? And how much of that do you think is endemic to this program? And how much of that is just the nature of this crazy world we're living in, where we're talking about revenue sharing and portal and NIL, and everybody wants their cut?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Scott's a, you know, state of Maryland treasure, and, you know, there's no bigger Terp fan than him. And him and I talk quite frequently, and we are exactly on the same page on that. And, but, you know, it is crazy when you're now dealing with an AD. You're going to have to deal with, again, a revenue sharing salary cap. You know, I personally believe the employment issue is going to come down the road pretty quickly. You're going to have to deal with, are the players students or are they employees or are they both? So you're going to need someone who is savvy towards that. He's going to have to know a lot about NIL. He's going to really have to have a business perspective because, you know, it's always been a business, but now more than ever, it's a business.
Last question for you, Harry, because we haven't talked about the last AD and how much of these of the problems that were going on within the athletic department, in your opinion, were because of Damon Evans and your thoughts on him leaving to SMU.
Well, you know, he kind of abruptly left. I'm not that close with Damon. I didn't expect it. I was kind of shocked to hear about it. And you know, I think Damon's always been a more football-centric. You know, he played college football, came from Georgia. You know, maybe he thought Maryland didn't have enough resources ever to compete, you know, with Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State. And, you know, SMU has unlimited dollars. You know, I don't blame him for taking the job. I think, yeah, he caused a lot of the issues with Kevin, with the animus towards that, and, you know, kind of left. I think when he left, and then, you know, Kevin had to deal with the next person involved, I think that probably set him off a little bit. And at that point, I think it was too far gone for him ever to come back, if he ever was planning to.
Harry, before,
you know, I mean, he's got to, you know, you got to put some of the blame on him, certainly.
Yeah. Before we let you go, you mentioned that we're in the final months of the way the NIL system is now. If people want to donate, where should you direct them?
TurtleNIL.com.
Go to TurtleNIL.com.
I'm going there now. Yeah. I got an incoming freshman Terp, and yeah. I'm on board.
And I did buy.
You got my vote, and you got my money, sir.
Yeah, I did buy that.
Guys buy a Kraft 5 T-shirt.
I bought an I'm from Baltimore. That's why T-shirt.
Yeah, I got one for my son. Oh, yeah. The I'm from Baltimore. But I'm coming back for more.
Those are great T-shirts. We put that whole T-shirt thing together in like 30 hours because, you know, things were moving quickly, and, you know, boy, what a treasure we have with Derek Queen. I mean, just a great young man, and, you know, he's going to go on to superstardom in the NBA. I'm really happy for him.
Yeah, he's great. You know what? It was an awesome week, and the distraction stunk, but it'll never take away the memories of him hitting that shot and what a time it was for Maryland basketball. Harry, I'm so happy I got connected to you. This has been great. We'd love to talk again when it's pertinent.
Yeah, keep in touch, you know, guys, and carry on and go Terps.
Thank you, go
Harry
Terps.
Harry Geller, thank you so much for
We've got a nickname for your buddy Willard, but we're not going. We won't. We'll spare you from it. But
you could keep that to yourself.
Yes, we will.
Thank you,
yes,
Harry.
Sir. Thank you.
Have a good day. Guys.
Coming up next, we'll get to Maryland, and we got some portal updates. Guys coming, guys going. What do we think about what Buzz Williams has done so far? We'll tell you next.
Ben got fitted for his rat costume.
Oh, there it is. That's next here on The Fan.
I've written him letters since I was a kid, including Coach Lefty Drizel. I have the utmost respect. There's only one Coach Williams here. His name's on the court. I anticipate I'll be buzzed to everybody around here and should be. He was sitting on the front row yesterday. He was the first call that I had in this process. I never told anyone in the process of my relationship with Coach. I have the utmost respect for him during his time here, but also his career at all four schools that he was the head coach at. And what I've done pales in comparison to what he has done, but I sure hope that we can have a trajectory similar to what he had when he was the coach here.
So that was Buzz Williams talking about Gary Williams. I think that was on Big Ten Network talking about his admiration for Gary Williams. And Buzz,
he's getting a lot done now.
Yeah, Farrell Payne.
Finally.
Farrell Payne.
Well,
yeah, let's
barely been here a week. Finally.
Let me just say Farrell Payne from Texas A&M, he's here. Solomon Washington, Texas A&M, he's here. Miles Rice from Indiana, he's in the fold.
Rodney Rice not ruled out coming back?
I don't think he's coming back.
I don't think he's coming back.
I think that money's gotten a little obscene. That they can spend it elsewhere. But Malachi Palmer, Christian Jeffrey, they're going to Villanova. Everybody else is gone. So Beltway
Swan Rogers coming back?
Beltway Ben, how do you feel,
Cowboy? Come home
about Buzz. Home.
I feel good. I think the Washington addition excites me more than most because there's a lot of box score watchers out there. He will be on the All Big Ten defensive team next year. I'm marking that now.
Wow.
He'll guard the best player in opposing teams. Miles Rice, if they would have went after him last year, would have had to pay close to $2 million. That kid was at Washington State, blew up in the NCAA tournament and in postseason play. Course, he goes to Indiana. He wasn't like bad.
Right? 16 against Maryland.
Yeah, and it was all in the second half, and he was the reason Indiana got back into that Maryland game. I like that pick up a lot. There's some crickets about other people right now. I think this week we'll see a lot of names. They're attached to a lot of guys that are gone after by mid-major schools that aren't like going to score 30 a night, but they're going to do dirty work, and that's kind of Buzz as well.
It's Buzzball.
It's Buzzball, but I do think like kid from Georgetown, Mac, if they could somehow get him. He's not in the portal yet, but if they could get him.
There's some buzz.
And he does have a Maryland tattoo on his body. So
Wow. Like a universe? Like a...
The Maryland logo, the old logo, yes, on his body. Oh. Because we
so
talked
it's
about
not just
year.
A random Maryland flag. No.
Is that the Harvard kid?
Yes.
Yeah.
The turtle logo? With
no,
the
it's an M. It's an M, and it has like the flag in the top of the...
I gotcha. Cool tattoo.
Ben is to that tattoo as Gigi was to tattoos over the weekend.
Yeah, it's true. Yes.
Now, I don't know really why, but I've come to really dislike the University of Michigan. Full disclosure, when I lived in Detroit, I would hang out in Ann Arbor all the time and loved it. They're cleaning up, are they not? Everything I'm reading is Michigan, Michigan, Michigan.
I think people are overdoing it a little bit. I don't think Lindenborg will end up going there. If he does go there, I mean, he's the number one guy in the portal. Mm-hmm. If he does go there, that's a massive get. I think he's going to the NBA. We'll see. Cadeau was like a below average guard at UNC. He's very fun. He can throw the lob. He can do all that. But they were legitimately playing him like he was Shaq because that's how bad of a three-point shooter he is as a guard. Guys were guarding him in the paint as a point guard. I think there's a lot of hype around May and everybody's excited. But, I mean, they hit well last year with Wolf and Vladdy. Yeah. That was big inside. But again, I don't think Lindenborg is going to go there. I think he's going to go to the NBA. And Cadeau is fine, but I'm trusting Buzz. I like what Buzz is doing.
You trust in Buzz. So
he's all the way in.
So the five stages of grief are over, Ben, is what we're saying.
Just about. I mean, Villanova is really racking up the Maryland
second tier.
The least of our. Yeah, that's exactly
right. Malachi Palmer and Christian Jeffrey.
And I would have liked to have Palmer back, but again, like when those are the two guys that you bring with you, it says more about you than it does others.
What about on the recruiting scene? Now, I know they lost the one
Christian Jeffrey.
Kid's going with the Dirty Rat. But are you hearing anything about inroads?
Wrencher's going to visit. He's like, I think, the only recruit that they might want to come with him. I mean, he's a pretty exciting player. Plays above the rim. Tough guy. A Buzz type of player.
That's the Buzz I'm hearing.
He's commenting on all of, like, everybody who's committed to Maryland. Wrencher's commenting on, like, when Payne committed, he did. When Washington committed, he did. He has said he hasn't heard from Buzz yet, which was kind of weird, but he said he heard from an assistant. Buzz has not named any assistants yet, so that's interesting.
From an assistant to be named later.
I think we know where that's going.
Yeah. He's got the guys with 100
Buzz's
years of service.
Yeah. Going to be in town.
Yeah.
The whole posse.
We're going to get back to the Orioles next. Remember, national championship games tonight. You can hear that game right here on 105.7 The Fan. Is that correct, Bon? The game's on The Fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Immediately following BBT.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. With your co-host to be named.
I think it's Ben. I think it's Ben.
I am.
I got the official. It's Ben.
Hey! I'm loose in the bullpen. I'll get loose in the bullpen.
I saw you swinging about.
No, you
with
were
a
already prepared because you and I both read this situation the same way because we're cut from the same cloth.
That's right.
And this was only going in one direction.
Jacob Calvin Meyer covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. What does he think of the O's through 10 games? He's going to tell us next here on The Fan.